God bless you, each one. Nobody should get that much applause. Thank you. You make me feel good this day. I just thank God for Evangel and every one of you that are here in this hour. I'm going to be preaching a message today that's going to be a little bit difficult, but I trust the Lord will bless us to be able to glean something from His Word. And we're going to ask God to anoint this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, as we turn to You this hour, I ask God that You would minister to every listener, everyone that is a worshiper, everyone that has come, dear God, to follow You, that You would prosper and that You would bless them exceedingly. I ask God that when this moment is ended, that we can be able to say that surely God has been in the midst of His people. Bless us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to begin with the last verse that I'll be using tonight. Today, I'll get it together yet, believe me. But night does come, and I trust that we'll be able to thank God that God is with us in the day before the night comes upon us. Looking in chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus is speaking here and saying, "And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better." Now, what is Jesus speaking about? We're going to go into the verses prior to this, but basically what he's saying, I'm bringing new wine. I'm bringing a new message. I'm bringing a new focus, and people who already have found something good are saying, I don't need anything new. When my dad first began as a minister, and that was back so many years ago, at that period of time, he began a church and had on it the name Christ Old Time Gospel Tabernacle. And in that moment, and every single moment it seems, the question and thought has been, why is it that so many things change? And there was a song that was sung, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion. I won't sing too much, I'll preach. I'd do a better job at that. And it's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. Oh, it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Don't tell me to quit. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah. The problem that a lot of us old-timers have is that we don't know why they got to change everything in church. They don't sing my old songs anymore. They don't do the same things that they used to do. And yet every generation seems to have that thought. Could we go back a step? Could we go back to something prior to what is happening now? And if we're not careful, change can be dangerous. But also, change is anointed and must come. Because God is a God that brings change in every generation. And things are not the same in this hour. And you're not meant to go back to the New Testament church. You're meant to go back to the New Testament spirit, the New Testament anointing, because the New Testament church wasn't an old church. It was the newest thing that God was doing. And God is doing something new all the time. God is doing something new. And if you're not on the crest of the wave of what's new, you will miss what God is up to in your generation. God is doing something new. Wherever you go, you will find churches that are different than old-time churches. And you'll see churches where a preacher doesn't even have enough sense to put a suit on. I mean, he looks like he just came from someplace else. And what do we think? Well, why can't that man dress up for God and wear his best? Don't judge another man that God is speaking to, because God is not calling us all to the same. He is calling us in this hour to a focal moment that is here in this hour, and God is moving us forward. And what did Jesus say? If you've already found wine that you like, you're not looking for no new wine. I've got some wine that is old. I've got some wine that is already good. The wine that I got comes from a long ways back. Don't bring that cheap new wine in. But God is able to cause some cheap new wine to be that which impresses you. You've got to know in this hour that He's a fresh God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we've got to rejoice and be glad in it. And there has to be a willingness to change if God is going to work in our moment. Let's see what God has to say in His Word. And I'm going to go to the Living Bible because it is so readable here. And I trust the Lord will bless as we look at the Scripture in Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Later on, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector with the usual reputation for cheating sitting at a tax collection booth. The man's name was Levi. Jesus said to him, "Come and be one of my disciples." So Levi left everything, sprang up, and went with him. You know him as Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. He's the writer of it. Soon Levi had a reputation, had a reception in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collector and other guests were there, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples about his eating with such notorious sinners. Jesus answered them, "It is the sick who need a doctor, not those in good health. My purpose is to invite sinners to turn from their sins, not to spend my time with those who think themselves already good enough." Now, what was Jesus saying in that moment? If he had simply turned to Simon and said to him, to Levi and said to him, if he had simply said to him, "Repent of your sin," they would have said, "Yeah, he needs to repent of his sin." But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, "I want a relationship with you. I want you to follow me. I want you to come after me. I've chosen you. You're a sinner, but I have chosen you. You're lost, but I have chosen you. You are a man who's made some mistakes, but I've chosen you. You've cheated somebody, but I've chosen you." And I didn't say to you, "Repent." That will be worked into the equation. I'm just asking you to follow me. 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 That would have been like almost somebody putting somebody who was a tax collector on the church board. You see, Jesus knew what was going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen when Jesus says, "Follow me." And so we're safe and we do the things that we have been doing. And we're so careful to see that we don't have anybody with a bad reputation. And even the New Testament gives us some indication this is proper and good. But what is the story here? The story is that God is doing something new with somebody that's never been touched before, never been anointed before, never had a chance before, never was considered to have any value. He's looking and he's saying, "Follow me." And if you're here today, he's not just telling you get your act together, but he's saying, "I want you. I want you to change your life. I want you to follow me. I want you to defeat the devil. I want you to destroy the enemy. I want you to help some little boys in the city. I want you to clothe a little daughter in the city. I want you to bless somebody that's hurting. Follow me. You would think that Jesus would have been on the cutting edge of every holy thought, but it seemed like he wasn't serious enough. The religious people said, "The problem we got with you, Jesus, you aren't holy enough." He who was without sin, as he reached out in that moment in his love, he touched people that they said, "It's all right to touch them, but let them get washed first. Let them give a testimony first. Let them change and become a part of us first. Let them go through study first. Let them go through research first. Let them go through number one, number two, number three of our study, and then we'll embrace them." But in that moment, Jesus said to a tax collector, "Get up and follow me." But you don't know the heart of a sinner, because there's some sinners that are closer to being what God wants them to be than we could understand in the midst of the garbage that's in their life. And what did Levi do in that moment? He gave everything up. He leaped up and he put it all behind him. There was some money left there. There was some records left there. There was some other situations that he should have taken care of. But he heard a voice that changed his life. My prayer is that the voice of Jesus can get out into the universe, and that it can change people that we don't expect to be changed, that aren't accepted by us, that God would move in a mighty way. Tax collector, that was nothing you could say about a man much worse than that. Because he had a chance to cheat, and so he cheated. He had a chance to fill his own pockets, and so he did. They were known to be people, you pay them, but it doesn't all get into, they keep some for themselves. And Jesus chose a tax collector, and he said, "Follow me, follow me. Follow me." And what Jesus was saying, when you already got something good, you're not looking for something better. And I want to tell you, you, everyone here, you got something good, but maybe there's something better. And I do not know how to lead you, but the Holy Ghost does. And I'm asking you in this hour, stay open. Don't get locked into the music you love. Don't get locked into the things that you appreciate. Appreciate it because God was in it in that moment. But this is a new day, and this is an hour when God says, "I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." But if you move ahead, somebody isn't going to agree with you. Somebody isn't going to applaud you. Somebody isn't going to think you're spiritual enough. I thank God for Michael Bonner, but the old George Bolger would say, "Why don't he just stick with some of the old songs? I mean, he knows everyone that's ever been." And he comes up with his stuff, and I don't even know the words to it and everything else. And besides, he likes the ones he writes his own self better than what anybody else has written. And we're just hearing what he's writing. But he sung that song for 15 minutes. I mean, isn't it time to get on to another song? Oh, it's so easy to judge somebody else. It's so easy to judge the church. It's so easy to judge your brother. It's so easy to judge your sister. But in this hour, get away from that and say, "God, do something new in this hour and help me, dear God, to be able to accept it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise offering. Went to see my son in Texas and a wonderful preacher. And he said, "You know, maybe we got to change." He said, "Maybe we got to move up." And I said, "Man, what are you talking about? Who's paying the bills at your church? It's not those new kids on the block. It's those old timers. It's those old people who like it the way they are. You better hang in there the way it is. That's the way the mind is. But God is saying in this moment, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And I ask in this hour that God would cause us to hear sons and daughters prophesying, not like an old man, not like an old woman, but let God get among the youth and let God work in a way that is able to make a change. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this with me for a moment. It is the sick who need a doctor. Verse 31. Not those in good health. My purpose is to invite sinners to turn from their sins, not to spend my time with those who think themselves already good enough. It's not that he was judging those who thought they were good enough. Why did they think that they were good enough? Because they were doing basically good things. But God goes beyond just good things. And he moves into supernatural things. And we need a supernatural touch. The next complaint that Jesus was that Jesus' disciples were feasting instead of fasting. Here they are. Feasting, eating all the time instead of fasting. Eating all the time instead of fasting. They don't have a religious image. They don't seem to be spiritual enough. If they would just fast more, I would take them serious. But I look and man, they're chewing up this and they're chewing up that and they're eating something else. They're acting like it's party time. They're acting like it's party time. Don't they know it's condemnation moment? Don't they know it's sin moment? Don't they know it's judgment moment? Don't they know that it's time to repent? But there they are. They're having a party. 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 Was the judgment wrong? Not totally. But the understanding is wrong. Just because something resonates in you, don't suppose that what you think is automatically right. God may be saying something that you don't understand. God may be doing something that you don't fully comprehend. But in this moment, just turn to God and say, one thing I know, we don't have to go backward. We got to go forward. We don't have to go backward. We got to go forward. We don't have to go backward. We got to go forward. Don't give me the old time, but give me the quickened moment that this is. This is the day that the Lord has made. And you got a word to say to this generation. You got a word to say to the sinner in this hour that can change their lives. Hallelujah. The only thing that I'm sure of, that if Jesus came in this hour, some of the most sincere people would be scratching their head and saying, I know one thing, that's not Jesus. Because I know the Jesus that I know. And the Jesus I know, he just wouldn't sit with him, and he wouldn't sit with them, and he wouldn't go to that party, and he wouldn't be among those people. But Jesus, he was caught up in the middle of a crowd of tax collectors, and he didn't go there to preach. He went there to eat. He didn't go there to preach. He went there to eat. He didn't go there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't tell you what the word doesn't say. He went there to eat with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why are yours whining and dining? Jesus asked, do happy men fast?
to happy men fast. To happy men fast. That's not the way we look at it. We're saying, do spiritual men fast? Jesus didn't say it that way. He said, if you're happy, then celebrate. If you're happy, then celebrate. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not whether you're so spiritual. It's whether you're happy. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put a song in my soul to stay. He put a song within me. I can rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do happy men fast? Do wedding guests go hungry while celebrating with the groom? Then if this is celebration time, act like it. If this is celebration time, rejoice in it. If this is celebration time, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Go ahead in this hour. I'm happy today because I'm alive. I'm happy today because He loves me. I'm happy because He sends His Holy Spirit. I'm happy today. And because of that, I say, I rejoice. Hallelujah. Then Jesus used this illustration, verse 36. No one tears off a piece of a new garment to make a patch for an old one. Not only will the new garment be ruined, but the old garment will look worse with a new patch on it. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine bursts the old skins, ruining the skins and spilling the wine. Then Jesus, give me a new mind. Then Jesus, give me a new outlook. Then Jesus, give me a new understanding. Then Jesus, bring a new truth to me. Then Jesus, let there be a fresh anointing. Then Jesus, let me be not who I was, but who I am in Christ today. A new creature, old things passed away and all things made new. And let there be something new in this moment. But we do love the old because it's been us and it's been our culture and it's been what we can trust. And Jesus didn't say that the old wine wasn't good, but He said, don't get stuck with it. Don't get stuck with it. I don't know what God has for you. But you're going to have to understand when the church doesn't play your songs and when somebody sits in your pew seat. Oh, listen, I've had people who said, that's my pew seat, and I don't know why that somebody sat where I want to sit. That's where I want to sit. Then let me tell you this moment, find a new seat. Find a new seat. Find a new seat. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. After you've been saved, you're still a new creature. After you've been here for 20 years, you're still a new creature. I'm a new creature today. I'm a new creature now. Shirley and I, we like antique shops because there's some beautiful things that come from a time before this. We found two old candelabras that stand 5 foot some tall. And the Lord blessed us. We got them at such a reasonable rate. And they were so dirty. They were so terribly dirty. And it took so much work to clean them up. And finally, I spent 2 days getting them ready. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I even put my hand on one and thought, I don't know how many years ago that this was lit. But I'm so glad I got it. And I placed them in the dining area on both sides of the buffet. And they look so good. But we never, ever will light them, probably. I like the switch that's on the wall. I like that switch on the wall. I like that switch on the wall. I like that switch on the wall. And they're a good ornament. And they bring back a resonance of something before. And I respect and appreciate what was before. But I'm thankful for what is now. Something better now than ever before. Something better than now than ever before. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't look for the New Testament church in Acts. I look for the New Testament church in this hour, in this moment, in this hour. I thank God. Hallelujah. I've never seen an hour such as this. Because I find sinners praying. I find people on drugs praying. I find somebody living with somebody praying. I find somebody who's in jail praying. I find somebody locked up in prison praying. And I rejoice because Jesus is going to the prison and saying, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Jesus knows you by name. And he knows all the complexity about you. And he doesn't tell you, why don't you live more like George Bogle? And I sure wouldn't tell you that. But I would tell you, let Jesus call you. Let Jesus call you. Let Jesus call you. And if there's a hunger already in you, when you hear that call, you're surprised by it, and you're willing to give up everything and say, oh, hallelujah. He said to me, not just repent. He said to me, don't get your act together. He said, come and be part of me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Brother Bonner, sing any song God gives you. Let it be an anointing that God uses. And I'll tell you one thing. I promise you that a lot of us old timers will wish you get it over with. But somebody is going to hear it. And somebody is going to rejoice. And somebody is going to say, praise God for that. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. We love the things that we can look back and see for a long season, especially at times like Christmas. Shirley frustrated me. She said, we got to buy some new ornaments. I said, what? Why in the world would you give away ornaments? They don't get old. They don't change. And so we got to buy new tree ornaments. The old ones are better anyhow. You remember the one that you had at the top of the tree. Why change it? Well, you know, somebody. No, I don't know. Wasting all that money. And I just wish every woman here had as many old clothes as she's got. But the woman is always going into the store and buying something new. She doesn't need no clothes. Why is she? Because it's new. Because it's new. Because it's different. Because it's something that I haven't seen before. There's something inside of you that knows there's something better still to come. There's something better still to come. There's something better still to come. God is telling you, go ahead, get a vision, and move forward. You haven't seen the best yet. And when you get a hold of something fresh, somebody's going to look at you and say, I hope I never got what you got. A lady came to church and had a husband unsaved. And she said, I wanted to get saved, but I don't want him to get like George Bogle. You got to believe there's something ahead. And I tell you right now, our greatest challenge is that there is something new for the young people like never before in the world. There's got to be something new in the body of Christ. There's got to be something new in the church. We can't have warmed over antique youth ministry. We got to have something that comes on in this hour that is able to say, come and dine, come and dine, come and dine. The antique church has to know in this hour there's something new. Hallelujah! As I bring this service to a close, things change. Jesus is on the cutting edge of change. Jesus is on the cutting edge of change. He's on the cutting edge of change. Change me, Jesus. Change me, Jesus. Change me, Jesus. Change me for the better. Praise the name.